Communication is tough sometimes. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Communications are tough sometimes. Now, many times when I'm talking to people, they don't understand what I'm saying. And so I slow down and I speak articulately and carefully so that they can understand. And the last thing I say to them is, you're not listening to me. I'm not interested in talking to you because you're not listening to me. You don't really care what I'm saying. I don't say that because then I'm sure to alienate them and they'll never listen to me again, you know. And I have a lot of good things to say. I mean, you know, I'm loaded. Now, we all are. We all are loaded with good things to say. But communication is truly one of the gifts that we would like to have had the Magi leave at our doorstep. Jesus had the gift. Remember? What did Jesus do that demonstrated that gift?
Well, he spoke the mountain sermon on the mount and to 5,000 people, and everybody could hear him equally well.
Jesus spoke his sermon on the mount to 5,000 people, and those in front of him and those at the farthest reaches of the audience could hear him equally well. Now that is really quite amazing. Now, the next question, and don't be smart alecky about it. How many people understood what he was saying?
Everyone.
Not very many.
But
in consciousness, you mean?
People did not understand what he was saying because they were not accustomed to listening. This is true for all of us.
Yes.
We're not accustomed to listening. Now, if someone is talking and having a discussion about politics and religion and mathematics and stuff like that, and you have no interest whatsoever in it, you don't even hear them. You go on with whatever your thinking is or you're reading the book, you're not disturbed at all. But the minute anybody's having a conversation and they mention your name, what? Oh, huh? You're talking about me? Right away, you hear it. You're clued into it. Rex lays on the floor, or he's off, as I said, he was about 100 feet away from me. 50 or 100 feet away from me. I was sitting up at the Gregor path there at the I Like Me bench, and I just quietly said to him, Rex, come here, I want to give you a hug. And Rex heard me and came right to me, let me give him a hug, and stayed for a little extra hug. And then, when I was done, then he sat there. He didn't go too far away, and he was remaining there. Now, he wanted to hear me, but if I didn't say his name. This is why whenever you're disciplining a dog or a child or anybody else, or whenever you're sharing with a child or a dog or anybody else, if you say their name, then you're more likely to get their attention. You know, their name is like the sweepstakes. If you say, you won the sweepstakes, nobody listens. But if you say, Sylvia, you won the sweepstakes, Sylvia says, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. She's ready to enjoy. Now you see, when we hear our name, right, Ingeborg? When we hear our name, what did Sylvia do just as we finished our lunch today? No. She read your name from four or five different locations on the computer, telling what the background was of your name and how it was from Scandinavian and how it was from a northern area of Germany and how this, that, and the other thing, and Ingeborg, 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 and what Inge means and what Borg means and so forth. I mean, now, were you listening to her? Very much, because it was your name. Now, what if she'd been talking about Eileen? Eileen.
It would also be interesting.
Yeah, but the thing is, not quite the same. Ellen wouldn't listen to Eileen as much as she would listen to Ellen. When Ellen hear, or Helen, Ellen, When Ellen hears the word Helen or Eileen or something, she doesn't really pay much attention. When she hears the word Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, she's all ears and all attention and all interest. But you see, when we want to communicate with ourselves and with others, we should remember our name. That is, when we hear our name, whoever is speaking has got our attention. Now, if I get emails and it's Herbert L. Byerly, and then they're trying to sell me Viagra, and I think to myself, how did they get my name, my full name? And then on my computer it says, what do you accept on your email? Do you accept your full name? Well, obviously people get your full name as well as anything else, you know. And I just tell my computer I don't want a certain type of content. And so my computer has just about got me down to almost nothing on the content. And that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Now, how do we get ourselves tuned up for what we want to hear and tuned down on what we don't want to hear? Well, we tell ourselves what it is we want to hear. And we speak articulately, we speak carefully, we speak lovingly, and as we do that, then we are heard, and we are followed, and people get through to us, and wonderful things happen. But otherwise, what happens? Otherwise, you could be talking to the wind. Now, I was using my iPhone up on the mountain and using it as a recorder, and I was recording different things, and I recorded it where the wind was blowing right into the microphone area, and where the wind was blowing around, and where the wind was here, and where there was no wind. And then, when I played it back, it was amazing that the wind affected it very little. Very little did the wind. It was only when it was blowing right into where you got that noise. Now, we are like that. We learn how we can communicate most beautifully and be heard most beautifully, where we won't be talking into the wind and not be heard. It takes quite a bit of awareness to do that most beneficially to ourselves. Now, Sylvia likes to pretend that she's just an ordinary, stupid person. And so, Ingeborg was having trouble hearing my talks. And she said, I never get your talks. Well, we analyzed it, and we found that she did not have my talks on her computer. And then we thought, gee, I wonder why that would be. And so old Sylvia over here, you know, she says, well, it's probably because you're not a receiver. You haven't subscribed to the thought, you know, or you had subscribed and somehow you got off it, which happens to people. They get off the list. And now Sylvia, when she gets back to her house, she's going to put Ingeborg on the computer for the thought for today. Ellen's going to put Ingeborg on for the thought for today. I'm going to put Ingeborg on for the thought for today. And Ingeborg's going to put Ingeborg on for the thought for today. So four times she'll have the thought for today coming to her. Now, isn't that wonderful? No, not really. That's a pain in the neck. But you want it once, at least. Now, you know, Ingeborg, you're using not Outlook.
Express.
Please say it loudly.
Outlook Express.
Outlook Express. Thank you. You're saying Outlook Express.
Yes.
And I'm using my Apple program, but I had used Outlook Plain. And when I go onto your computer and I look up things in your Outlook Express, I feel like I'm in a fairyland, you know, with little programs jumping here and jumping there and backgrounds and screens and stuff. What?
Yeah, it's just a strange screen.
Very, very strange. I think what we should do is to put a clean sweep in there for you. Delete the whole cotton picker thing and start from scratch.
Yeah.
And let you have a nice clean program. I believe part of the problem is that I have increased the size of your type so large that it makes everything fall out of balance.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you really need that. It's nice to have large type when you're reading something, but when you're just going through programming and so forth, it's nice to have it normal so that it falls into place properly. And perhaps that might be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever anybody comes and readjusts our computer to their choice, they make a mess for us. Now, it may be nice. Oh, when I was first in the computer work, whenever I'd get on anybody's computer, I wanted to make it just like I made mine. And I wanted to change it to just like I changed mine, change the type style just like I changed the default just like I changed mine. Well, it wasn't what they had in mind. They had some dumb old way of doing it, you know. But actually for them, it was a very satisfying way. And I think the big thing for all of us is for us to, for me to work with you carefully and let you see what's available and not have you just say yes, 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 but have you say, oh, I like that. That doesn't turn me on, and this and that, and then go for it. Now, you saw the dancing dog, Jin.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
All right, now, what
only
did...
Only once I saw it.
It's there.
Yes.
Now, what did you like about the dancing dog, Jin?
He behaved nicely.
Yes, yeah.
That's a nice animal.
All right. It behaved nicely. It was a nice animal. It was something that made you feel very comfortable, didn't it? Yes. Now, what happens to us is that sometimes we see something like Jin, this beautiful border collie that does these wonderful things, walking backward and dancing and jumping up and down, just a happy programmed dog, really quite beautiful. Like the announcer said, he had been looking for a dog to replace Lassie over these years, never found it until he saw it there.
Yes.
And of course, that was beautiful. But now, I don't think the Border Collie is Lassie. I don't think Jin is any Lassie. Jin is far greater. Jin can do things that Lassie never dreamed of doing. You know, and Lassie was good. Lassie was well trained. But Lassie was a traditional dog. Jin is an untraditional dog. Jin would get up and dance if it pleased him, you know, or her, you know. And this is how we want our life. You want to get up and dance on your computer and have it do all sorts of beautiful things for you, but unless you learn how to communicate with your computer, it will not communicate with you. Now, the way to learn how to communicate with our computer is to play with it a little bit. My computer was constantly miscommunicating with me. It was saying the word Byerly is not in the dictionary, and it wasn't. It was saying Germany was not in the dictionary, and it was saying all sorts of things was not in there. Ends? It found, you know. Now, she must have put that in there itself. No, she went to Obama and said, put me in, and so he did. But the thing is, we have to learn how to do it. So I went in, replace, and find, and replace, and then I said, find, and I said, find my name, and then replace my name with my name. And then whenever it finds Byerly, now it's going to replace it with Herbert L. Byerly, you know. And if I don't want Herbert L. Byerly, I can just take the Herbert L. off, and it'll keep jumping back up, because there is no Byerly all by itself anymore. There never was. But you see, you got to learn what it is. Now, I may find that not desirable after a while, because in the thesis that I'm reading right now, this guy says, well, Dr. Herbert Byerly said this, and Dr. Herbert Byerly said that, you know. And I think it gets a little much after a while. You say the dean, or the founder, or the author, or the professor, or something like that, that's okay. But always, you know. So think about that, because we want to communicate, and we want to communicate where we keep people content with us communicating. And obviously, my communication with you guys has become less and less effective and more irritating to you, and so we shall have to do a little work on that. So, with that in mind, pray. I love you. I love you.
I love you.